The British author Ian McEwan once quipped that when women stop reading, the novel will be dead. His observation was inspired by a decidedly unscientific experiment in which he strolled at lunchtime through a crowded London park handing out free books, and the majority of the takers were women. But he was onto something. Studies find repeatedly that women read more than men on average, and, more importantly for publishers, women tend to buy more books than men. Enter SheBooks, a new e-publisher specializing in short books by and for women. Two Baltimore writers, Jessica Anya Blau and Marion Winnick, have work featured among the initial offerings from SheBooks, and they join me in studio this week to talk about this new trend in electronic publishing and the rise of the e-reader. So tell me, what is a SheBook?
Well, it's a short e-book by and for women is what this publisher's concept is. So there already are some short e-books on the market, like Amazon Singles, but it's really a very new category. And the idea is that they believe that there's a niche somewhere between traditional books and magazines for people who want to have something to read on an airplane, something to read before bed. So they're creating these books that are short, and they're only available in the e-format.
And so this is sort of the kinds of long-form story you might read in a magazine, or you would traditionally have a stack of magazines you get on the plane with your New Yorker and your Harper's and that sort of thing. Is that kind of publishing, or?
Well, they hope to do long-form journalism, but their launch list is fiction and memoir. So Jessica's book, for example, is two short stories.
It's about, I think it's 10,000 words, so it's about maybe 40 pages. So it's two 20-page stories. So it's pretty much what you could read, depending on how fast you read, in an hour or an hour and a half.
Well, and e-books, of course, people are familiar with. People are downloading things to their Kindles and their Nooks and their iPads all the time. But the whole world of publishing, it seems to me right now, is all the rules have been thrown out the door. First it happened with music, and now it's happening in the world of book publishing. What is the atmosphere like for you? You've both had traditional books published. What is that world like now?
Well, there's all kinds of signs of the times. I mean, Jessica, who's really very, very successful as an author, is published originally in trade paperback. You know, 15 years ago, that never would have happened, that she'd have three books come out in trade. But now it's normal. And for me, it's almost impossible to publish anything. Collections of essays are kind of like box office poison at this point, unless you're David Sedaris. I was joking that, you know, when I first started out, I got a great kind of ride and a great lot of interest because everybody was looking for another David Sedaris. Well, now they've given up and they just have David Sedaris.
But it's true. I mean, the world of books has changed. Madison Smart Bell was recently a guest, and his latest book is free. His book is another new model, and it's a paperback, and they're giving it away for free. You're supposed to do something, a kind gesture, and pass the book along to.
Where do you pick it up?
You can get it at the Ivy Bookstore, oh, local bookshops, but it's a free book.
Who's paying for it?
Exactly. You know, well, exactly. And he said the same sort of thing. He's like, look, you know, music publishing, we thought the world was going to end when MP3s came along, but somehow people still pay for music in some way, and maybe that's what is going to happen with books.
These books are, I mean, they're $2.99. And now, I mean, anybody who has a smartphone can download a Kindle app for free. So this is the kind of thing that if you're standing in line for an hour and a half at the post office, which I certainly have done at the Roland Park Post Office, you can download the Kindle app on your phone, then download for $2.99 and stand there and read, you know, read a short story or read some essays or, you know, read something. You know, we're always standing and waiting and reading.
I think also magazines have really you mentioned some that still are patrons of and sponsors of long-form journalism like The New Yorker and Harper's. But in the women's magazine section, so many are just sound bites. The longest article in a women's magazine is less than 2,000 words now. So there's nothing with any meat. And that's because that's one thing that people want is just to flip through a bunch of quick things.
But people, listicles.
Yeah. Listicles. But people also seem to want that sort of mid-range involving experience, like, you know, that they could have online in the post office or in, you know, on a bus or a train or a plane. And it sort of has disappeared from magazines except from very few, you know, and the people who started SheBooks all come from the world of women's magazines, so they kind of saw this part of the magazine drift away and are hope and think there's still a quest for it. And then the other thing that their magazine background has caused is that they're going to sell subscriptions. So starting in March, I think you're going to pay like $6.99 a month, and you will have unlimited access to all the She books on all your devices. And they're talking about publishing 3 new ones like every week, I think, or some crazy thing like that.
Wow.
Well, from a writer's point of view, because I'm still writing personal essays, you know, it's for me, it's great because, okay, I have one She book out now that's called Guesswork, and it's 8 personal essays that are all on a single theme, like memory and identity is how I defined it. I have one coming out that's a bunch of essays about parenting called The End of the World as We Know It. And then the third one in the works is travel essays. So it's giving me the opportunity to make these little themed collections that are really cheap, that I think people will enjoy, and maybe, you know, get into. I have now a backlist of 7 books, and they're all available in e-format too. So my, you know, the dream for me is that I get new readers from these little short collections, and then they buy the backlist. And it's really amazing because actually the roadblocks for me in traditional publishing are getting really hard to get over.
Well, I mean, and the people at She Books, I mean, these are people coming from Redbook, Good Housekeeping, Ladies Home Journal,
Harper's Bazaar.
I mean, these are, you know, top tier magazine editors. So the writers they're pulling in, you know, I mean, they're getting people like Marion, who we know has had all these books and been on Oprah and, you know, been on the Today Show. You know, they're getting these top writers. So even though they're e-books, there's nothing less about them.
No, it's just a modern format. It's just like changing with the times.
I'll be frank. There's a writer, Hope Edelman, that I've always been interested in. She wrote this book that was huge called Motherless Daughters, and I've met her, and I've always thought, I really want to read Hope Edelman, but somehow I just never wanted to pick up Motherless Daughters. You know, it wasn't the title for me, and I have never read her. Well, she has a She book, and it's about you know, some experiences she had with guys back in the 70s. It has Bruce Springsteen and other guys like that or something. And I was so happy to finally get to know her work. She's really a good writer. You know, I found the stories provocative, and it was finally my entry point to this writer that I've been interested in probably for over 10 years. So I think it gives you a way, you know, you don't necessarily want to start some big giant thing and pay $22 if it doesn't, you're not sure you're going to like it. Well, I could easily pay $2.99 for her, you know, Boys Like That or whatever it was called.
Well, and the concept of books, I mean, it's obviously the name She Books, books for women. Is there any risk in specifically publishing books just for one gender? I really have thought about this a lot because it seems almost, I know that, of course, you imagine your reader probably being female a lot of the
Not
time.
Not mine. I don't ever imagine my reader. I mean, I...
Good. I'm glad to hear that,
no,
actually.
No, I never imagine my reader being female. In fact, I think men often like my stories and novels more than women because somehow they can take it more because of the grittiness or the sex or something like that. And the two stories that I have in the She book, I don't imagine women liking those stories any better than men. But I'm assuming that these magazine editors who got together to start it, they're all smart, successful, ambitious. You know, we've talked to them on the phone. They seem, I'm just thinking they've got to know what they're doing here.
And you know, the part of it is that the percentages are so many, the percentage of readers is so much more female than male, that for starters, they're not really cutting out much. But this isn't the first time I've gotten in this situation either. Like Above Us Only Sky was published by Seal, and Seal was a traditional press that was founded in the 60s as a feminist press and published only books by women for women, quote, in quotes. I don't know. I always have thought that my work could be read by anyone, and I've never imagined like a necessarily female reader. I have noticed that most of my readers are women, and I always love when I see, you know, guys in it, because I would like everyone to read my work, and you know, I feel like with my column, like, I think there's plenty of male readers of the column, and I don't know.
I mean, I hope that men will pick up She books and start reading them. I mean, I've read
maybe the same way they pick up Cosmo. I mean, my second husband did nothing but watch soap operas and read women's magazines, and he was like, you know, a big sports fan, professor of philosophy. I think guys love stuff that's not for them. So,
yeah, I mean, the next She book I have out is a 10,000-word short story that's, you know, literary magazines don't publish 10,000-word short stories, and that's why She books is great for that. But the title of it is Free Kill Day, and it's a violent story. And I don't see it as a woman's story. I mean, so hopefully men will just cross over and do it. I feel like I have as many male readers as female readers for my books.
You both write in various formats. I mean, Marion, a lot of creative nonfiction, but memoir is different than creative nonfiction. And Jessica, you write novels, but you also write short stories. Is that kind of fun? Does that keep it interesting to you? Do stories form that become one thing or another in your head before you set out to write them?
Talk about Free Kill Day, because that is so different than a lot of your other work. I mean,
most of my short stories, I mean, I have an idea for a short story and I write a short story, and then I'll think if I want to turn it into a novel or not. So the new story, Free Kill Day, is sort of slightly futuristic, which is something I've never done before, but it was really fun to write, and it was fun to think in that new way and to think in ways that I don't usually think. It didn't take place in California, and there were no nudists, and nobody smoked pot, and
it's a violent dystopian story about where you can take out a license to kill one other person, and the protagonist of the book is getting licensed to kill her husband. So, it's, you know, pretty different than the Wonder Bread Summer. And to me, I really admire that ability to totally jump categories. I don't know if I'm now describing my work as that I'm like Harry Potter. My life is told in a seven-volume saga. Because really, I feel everything I do is all kind of part of the same thing. I mean, the biggest departure was the Glen Rock Book of the Dead, where I did those 300-word things that I sort of want to call prose poems, but I know that would be bad for marketing reasons. And but really, for me, writing is part of my process of living in a funny way, and that everything that happens to me and everything that I think is in some kind of giant Rube Goldberg machine on its way to becoming, you know, some version of my story. And I do try to, I have tried to jump my genre boundaries, and I've never really done it successfully. But do you remember I wrote that young adult golf and football novel called, at least I once in a while get a crazy idea, but rarely do I have as much success with it as I think Jessica's going to have with this Free Kill Day. So,
well, now here we are in the middle of, when e-publishing and when people thought, oh, it's the death of the book, you know, like there was really talk, like doom and gloom talk. But do you guys feel pretty confident that the world is safe for publishing and story writing and people will want to read
e-books? Are the life of the book. They're not the death of the book. I mean, I pray that print publishing will not disappear, and I love books and everything. But if anyone who's saying e-books are the death of the book is crazy. I mean, like as you said, music has had to change, you know, the whole system for producing it has changed, and there's still music. Well, there's still going to be literature, but the system for producing it is changing. And I just borrowed Jessica's Nook to go on vacation. So, you know, I'm on the edge. I borrowed one. I think I could buy one soon. I mean, I think we're all going to go there. Nobody can make money publishing books made out of paper anymore, you know, except in a very few cases. Mm-hmm. And therefore, that won't be around that much longer. I mean, we live in a capitalist society. If you can't make money doing something, you know, they can't give away all the books like they're going to give away Madison Smart Bells. And so there's going to have to be a way to monetize it. And ebooks are the way that it can be monetized. So I'm now an enthusiastic convert. I mean, I'm glad that all my backlist's in e. I thank God for it. I think we'd all be doomed without it.
Yeah.
You know, when men start reading books in bigger numbers, they'll have he books. But I think there's been he books for like seven centuries already, okay?
Well, thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
Jessica Anya Blau and Marion Winnick are two of the featured authors at She Books, a new ebook publisher focusing on short works by women writers. You can find the complete catalog and subscription information online at shebooks.net. For The Signal, I'm Lisa Morgan.